This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Lots of baseball to get into, not just Major League Baseball, but the championship series of the College World Series will begin in a little less than 10 minutes from now in Omaha, where LSU takes on Coastal Carolina. Right now, the odds have actually shifted a bit as we've seen money coming in on Coastal Carolina. That's right. The nation's longest winning streak, 26 straight games, is on the line right now, or will be on the line in a few minutes in Omaha as the College World Series Championship Series gets underway. Prior to this game facing off, LSU, a favorite in the series, and Coastal Carolina, if you want to bet them to win this series, well, you can take a look at the price on that, which would be at DraftKings right now, plus 120. I don't find any value in that. To me, I'm on Coastal, and I'm just going to bet them in every single game. We've seen a shift here in this series, in the price for this game. Number one, where LSU was a heavier favorite than what they are going off at right now. Right now, here at Circa, LSU down to a minus 135 favorite, and Coastal Carolina plus 115 on the return. That is a big contrast from where we were earlier, or in the days leading up to this game, where LSU was north of a minus 150 favorite. In fact, best price out there on betting LSU would be, there is a minus 130 out there, but we've got some differing lines here. Anywhere from minus 130, minus 135, minus 140 to minus 154 at DraftKings on LSU. So take your best return, and now we have more movement as Circa down to minus 132. On LSU, plus 112 on the return on Coastal. I'm on Coastal in this game. I'm going to be on Coastal in each game here of this series. I think they got as good a shot as any to beat LSU, and it starts with a game one win here today. So get the best price on Coastal you can find right now, which is plus 120 out in the market. That would be my recommendation for this game that is coming up here in a matter of moments from Omaha. Total is down to 8. Here in game one of the College World Series. So we'll update you throughout this game, maybe some live betting opportunities, but we have the favored LSU against Coastal Carolina. The nation's longest winning streak is on the line as these two teams will meet for the national championship. Now, prior to this tournament even beginning, as Circa has moved down to minus 130 now on LSU, so late money is coming in on Coastal Carolina here. Prior to the tournament beginning, Arkansas and LSU were the top two favorites to win the championship. And Arkansas and LSU faced off in the very first game. LSU beat them 4-1, and then they matched up again a couple of days ago. And we all remember what happened with the historic collapse there in the ninth inning by Arkansas as LSU pulled out the victory. And so LSU remains the favorite, obviously, to win the national championship. But I just wanted to go back to where we were prior to this tournament beginning in Omaha, where the actual final eight teams, where Arkansas was the favorite, LSU the second favorite, but not that far behind Arkansas. So a little bit of a Cinderella story here for Coastal Carolina, but they are no Cinderella. As I mentioned, 26 straight wins as this team did an incredible job going through the regionals and super regionals and getting to Omaha without losing a game. And we'll take on LSU a matter of moments from first pitch there in Omaha. We are set for first pitch coming up in Philadelphia between the Mets and the Phillies. Griffin Canning is on the mound for the Mets and Mick Abel going for the Phillies. And for Mick Abel, as a young kid who made his debut earlier this year and was a guy who I thought deserved a spot in the rotation to stay in the rotation, wasn't quite in the cards for him, but he has now been up in the big leagues and has stayed in the big leagues and has made some consecutive really good starts here. Last start out against Miami, 5 innings, just 1 run allowed on 3 hits. Not a big strikeout guy. 3 strikeouts, just 1 walk. Prior to that against the Cubs, he gave up the most he's given up in a start, 3 runs on 6 hits in 4 innings. Before that, at Toronto, 1 run allowed on 3 hits in 5 1/3, and his first start was 6 shutout innings, back in May against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Mick Abel takes the bump here against the New York Mets, a struggling New York Mets team, I might add. The Mets have lost 7 straight games now, and this back-and-forth nature that we're seeing in the National League East has provided a ton of betting opportunities. It was not long ago where the Mets were in first place in the National League East, and I came on this show and other shows, and I recommended betting the Phillies at a fat plus-money price to win the NL East. And the theory then was that the schedule, the way that the schedule was going to play out over the next week or so, we were going to see a change in the odds, a change in the standings, because the Phillies had a very easy schedule playing teams like the Colorado Rockies, and the Mets had a difficult schedule taking on the Dodgers for a couple of series, the Yankees, etc. And what happened? At the end of the week, the Phillies were in first place, the Mets were in second place. Well, at that point, you could have gotten a decent plus money price on the Mets to win the division. And then the standings flip. The Mets become the favorite. The Phillies slump a little bit. Bryce Harper goes down with an injury and the Phillies offense suffers. Well, you then could have gotten back again another fat price on the Philadelphia Phillies. And here we are where the Phillies have won 3 straight. The Mets have dropped 7 in a row. And now on June 21st, the Phillies are in first place once again in the National League East. This market is going to fluctuate every single day now for the stretch run here of this summer. And I can tell you this, though. These are 2 teams that are going to be aggressive towards the trade deadline. They both spend a ton of money. The Mets, we know, have the richest owner in baseball, not afraid to spend. And with the holes in both these teams' lineups and pitching staffs, they're both going to make solid acquisitions. These are both playoff teams. Right now, the odds to win the division, Phillies minus 135, Mets plus 110. Again, this market will switch each and every day. Where you could find value is in the market to win the National League, where the Dodgers are the overwhelming favorite at plus 145, Phillies plus 425, Mets at 5-1. Now, I mentioned both of these teams will be aggressive at the deadline. The other thing that you have going for a Philadelphia Phillies perspective is that Bryce Harper will eventually come back. And when Bryce Harper comes back, that's another big acquisition to that lineup. It's like making a trade here towards the deadline without making a move. But I do think that for the Phillies perspective, I'll make the same argument that I made a month ago when I wanted to bet the Phillies. Dave Dombrowski is a very smart baseball man. He is the president of the Philadelphia Phillies. He has to understand, and I'm sure he does, and I haven't spoken to him directly, but you know, I believe this because he's a smart baseball man, and I consider myself to be a smart baseball man. This team is getting older. This team, even though they are not amongst the oldest in baseball, the core of their team, the star players, are all in their 30s. Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos, JT Realmuto, Bryce Harper, all getting up there in years. Trey Turner throwing the mix. Zach Wheeler. The core of this team, Aaron Nola, the core of this team is getting older. And so you have to believe that with the Mets spending a boatload of money, bringing in Juan Soto for all these years, with the Dodgers not going anywhere, only getting better over the years. And now the Cubs rising with their young talent. PCA is going to be a star in this league for years to come. For the Philadelphia Phillies, they have to understand, looking at their projection, looking at their team, their roster, their star, their cores, their stars, their core players, and looking at the landscape around Major League Baseball, this window is going to close very fast. Very fast. And so, I believe the Phillies, more so than maybe the Mets even, will be extra aggressive as we get closer to the trade deadline about 6 weeks away. Because their window is open now, but it is closing very, very fast. When other teams' windows are going to be open for years to come, the Phillies will not. And so, I like betting the Phillies in the futures market. because I think if it's not this year, I honestly don't know when it's going to be. And so I brought up these bets before. You can make bets on DraftKings and other markets to just name the finalists, like just to reach the championship series. Phillies at plus 165 just to get to the NLCS, to me, is a solid bet. But it starts, maybe, with a division victory. Phillies and Mets getting underway shortly from Citizens Bank Park. Looking at the price right now on this game, we're seeing a couple of different prices in the market. Mick Abel against Griffin Canning. And right now, best price is, let's see, Mets, if you want the Phillies, your best price is plus 115 on the Phillies. Best price on the Mets, minus 115. Mets, consensus-wise, a minus 120, minus 125 or so for this game. You got a team that's lost seven straight games that is on the road against a team that is three straight wins, playing a little bit better. Give me the plus money value here on the Philadelphia Phillies against the New York Mets. I don't buy into this idea of the Mets are due for a win. I buy into one team playing good baseball, the other team slumping right now. So let's bet on the team that's playing better baseball. Phillies Mets will get underway in about a couple of minutes from now. We're going to be taking the plus money price on the Philadelphia Phillies. And we are underway in Omaha. Coastal Carolina, LSU, College World Series, Game 1. We'll update you on it all coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Keeping an eye on what's going on in the College World Series. Game number one, Coastal Carolina wearing nifty V-neck throwback style jerseys. I love that, like the pullover style, not the button style. Just reminds me of the back in the day college baseball, the purity of the game. As they have a runner on in the top of the first inning, heavy winds in Omaha as well. Saw Mike Monaco tweet out of ESPN about the 99 degree temperature and 42 mile per hour winds in Omaha. Going to be an interesting night here with wind gusts in the ballpark. The hot and windy day, the combination of hot and windy. That's what we had at Wrigley earlier today, where the weather was 90 degrees, over 90 degrees, but you had massive 15 to 20 mile an hour winds at Wrigley Field, and that game goes flying over the total earlier today between the Cubs and the Mariners. 10-7, a Cubs win over the Mariners earlier. We are underway in Philadelphia as Mick Abel is about to throw the first pitch against the New York Mets. Again, the Phillies, we're taking a plus money price here on the Phillies. Best number out in the market was plus 115. And also getting underway right now, the Royals and Padres from San Diego. Dylan Cease on the mound for the Padres, and going for the Royals is Noah Cameron. The young rookie Noah Cameron has been incredible this season, with the exception of a game against the New York Yankees. And we could chalk that up to whatever excuse we want to make about why he didn't perform against the Yankees. Was he intimidated by the pinstripes? Was it a bad outing? I don't know what it was, but if you look at Noah Cameron's game logs this year, this is a kid I was begging for markets to put up a Rookie of the Year price on him, and they just wouldn't. Well, they did, but he was like 50-1. And then you look at like the Rookie of the Year, and it's like, all right, well, Jacob Wilson's going to run away with this thing for the Sacramento Athletics. But Noah Cameron, let's take a look at this kid's starts here, and you'll see that maybe the Yankee game was just an outlier. 6 1/3 innings, no runs on one hit. 6 1/3, one run on two hits. 6 2/3, one run on four hits. 6 1/3, one run on six hits. 6 innings, no runs, two hits. Yankee game, 5 2/3, six runs, seven hits. And then his last start, 5 innings, no runs, four hits. The kid pitches a gem every time he takes the mound, with the exception of the one game against the Yankees. And I'm not going to fault him for that. Again, was he intimidated by the Yankee lineup? Maybe, could be. But I think this kid's got the goods, and so I'd be interested in backing him. And we'll keep an eye on the live number here, but taking a look at Noah Cameron for what he's going to do here for the Royals against the Padres there in San Diego. Still to come, we have a couple of late games that will get underway about 2 hours or so from now. Diamondbacks are at the Rockies. Merrill Kelly goes for Arizona. Carson Palmquist for Colorado. Astros are at the Angels, and it's Jose Soriano for the Angels, who are actually a -120 favorite over the Astros. Brandon Walter gets the start for Houston. And then you have the Guardians at the A's in Sacramento. Luis Ortiz on the mound for the Guardians. Mitch Spence going for the A's. Nationals and Dodgers from LA, with Dustin May on the mound for the Dodgers and Jake Irving going for DC. So we'll update you as we get closer and closer to those games. Any plays that we like, I can tell you right now, there are a couple of players that I'm interested in targeting as far as total bases are concerned. As the Mets jump on the board early, it is a solo home run off the bat of, who is that? Is that Brandon Nimmo? Brandon Nimmo solo home run off of Mick Abel as the Mets jump out to a 1-0 lead over the Phillies. So good start here for the New York Mets, looking to snap this 7-game losing streak. Francisco Lindor led off with a line out to right field, and Brandon Nimmo has just homered on the second pitch that he sees, and now Juan Soto is up at the bat. So I did like the Phillies at a plus price. The best price we saw in the market was +115. Well, let's look at the live line right now. Phillies, you can get them at +125 on the live line. They haven't even batted yet, and they're down 1-0, and you can get them at +125 there on DraftKings, taking a look at your live market right now. Meanwhile, we got first and second here in the first inning, College World Series, as your live line right now, LSU. Now, at DraftKings, I have to specify, because I'm looking at the live line on DraftKings, where LSU did close as a much heavier favorite at DraftKings as opposed to the other books. So I want you to keep that in mind, and I'll refresh that as I look at the live lines throughout the course of this game, because it's going to fluctuate, and it's going to be different because DraftKings closed at LSU -154, I believe. And other books, like I mentioned, Circa was down to -130. But your live market here on DraftKings is LSU -145, still in the top of the first here, with Coastal threatening to put up a number here in the first inning. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on the live price as it adjusts throughout this game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. I want to remind you guys, if you want to make smarter bets this football season, it starts with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. It gives you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, season-long best bets. You'll also get the daily best bet emails from our hosts and guests, the real-time betting splits from both DraftKings and Circa Sportsbooks, and live and on-demand shows on the VSiN Watch app, plus everything that we offer at VSiN.com, all the analytics and betting tools. So don't miss out on this early bird deal. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Mackenzie Rivers, NBA handicapper from pregame.com. A little bit later on in the program, Sam Shadouri from FTN Fantasy, and then Terrell Furman Jr. from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. All will help us preview Game 7 coming up tomorrow between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. I have a best bet locked and loaded for this game, and I will tell you that best bet coming up here on the program. But I can tell you, the more that I look at this series, the more I have to acknowledge that I could have been wrong in a lot of areas, but also I kind of don't like what I've seen. And let me explain. I kind of made a hot take the other day watching game number 6, and my hot take was, do we need 7-game series? And before you say, well, it's always been seven game series. I mean, look, there was a time where we had five game series in the first round and we extended it to seven. And now every round seven. I get that. But in a seven game series, more times than not, we know this, the better team wins, right? It just, it happens. That's a fact. The better team wins in a seven game series. Less room for variance. But also, we see games like we saw in game number six, and like we've seen from both of these teams in this series. And that is, when you feel the game's not going your way, you take the L. There's no doubt in my mind that the Oklahoma City Thunder took the L in game number six. Good effort in the first quarter. But in the second quarter, when that game started to get away from them, they took the L. Just like we saw the Pacers do earlier in this series. The Pacers in game two, they got the split that they needed. They won game one. In game number two, it wasn't going their way. They took the L. And we've seen it throughout these playoffs. We have had so many blowout winners in these NBA playoffs that, yeah, on one side you could say we've had some entertaining basketball. On the other side, I can say we're, you know, we've only had a small handful of close games. That Thunder team that we saw, and I don't want to take anything away from the Pacers. Again, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Pacers, but you can't tell me that's the same Thunder team in game number six, especially in that second half. That's the same Thunder team that we watched earlier this series, earlier this playoffs, and throughout this season. That's not the same team. That was a team that took the L. Now it's game seven. I think we get back to Oklahoma City Thunder basketball. I think we see the teams now look more like who they are. Does that mean the Thunder roll to a cover? Or do the Pacers pull another one out? Let's break it all down. Again, Mackenzie Rivers, NBA handicapper, joining me, Scott Seidenberg. Coming up next, it's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. No score in Omaha right now. LSU and Coastal Carolina in the bottom of the first inning. Game one of the College World Series Championship Series. In Major League Baseball, the Mets just get that Brandon Nimmo solo home run, and that's all they would get in the top of the first inning. 1-0 as the Phillies come to bat here in the bottom of the first, and no score top of the second inning between the Royals and the Padres, quickly moving there in San Diego. Let's get back into the Game 7 preview. Thunder and Pacers coming up tomorrow. And joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line, NBA handicapper at pregame.com, he is Mackenzie Rivers. Mackenzie, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes. Last segment, I talked about how in game number 6, it felt like the Thunder took the L. The game wasn't going their way, and so they just said, this one's going to be a loss. Can they flip the switch now in game number 7 and be the team that we've grown accustomed to watching throughout not just this postseason run, but all season?
They definitely let go the rope in an embarrassing way in that second quarter. Jalen Williams with minus 40 plus minus, a record in the NBA Finals a day after he was being celebrated as the new Scottie Pippen. But I think the Pacers, the more I listen to people and rewatch the game, the Pacers did something that really surprised me. In game four, they had the most pressure of any team in NBA history, full court pressure, as far as second spectrum goes back about 10 years, which probably means it was the most ever, of pressuring them full court. In game six, with their season on the line, they completely reversed it. Rick Carlisle pulled one out of his hat, did not pressure at all, picked them up actually the furthest back they had in any game this season. So I think the Pacers get a lot of credit. The Thunder definitely quit early. Maybe some calls weren't going their way. But the Pacers threw a curveball that the Thunder did not respond well to.
Well, we've seen the Thunder respond to everything that the Pacers have thrown at them. We talked about earlier in the series how when Rick Carlisle did start that pressure, they went to Jalen Williams as more of the primary ball handler,
right,
the Oklahoma City Thunder did. Now that Rick Carlisle backed off the pressure, do we see maybe SGA return as the primary ball handler here in Game 7?
I think they do. I think you want to get your best player the ball as early as possible. If they're not pressuring, the easiest way to do that, especially if you don't have another natural point guard, which they don't, is to get him to the get it to him early. His assist number really hasn't deviated much, but I'm not going to go over his assists when there's all this data historically about how bad shooting is, particularly long range shooting in Game 7. We've seen the total now 15 points lower than it was in Game 1, so a massive adjustment. But I do think you'll see the ball more.
When it comes to the total, this is the lowest total that we're going to see here in the playoffs for the Oklahoma City Thunder, matching the 214.5 that we saw in Game 7 against the Denver Nuggets. That game did go over the total by 3 points,
yep,
barely, 125-93, and a dominating win for the Oklahoma City Thunder. We know historically Game 7s go under, but do you buy into this over-adjustment down to 214.5?
I don't. I think, gun to my head, I'm not going to go against the 62% unders we've seen in over 70 Game 7 since 2002, the full database, as we call it. However, I think there's two particular reasons why we've seen unders, one of which I think is still true, one of which I think is reversed. So two things. They shoot badly, and they have a very slow pace. I expect them to shoot badly. I expect the nerves to be there on both teams, as big as a game as it is. The pace in this series, however, has maintained regular season pace. If you looked at the Thunder and the Pacers throughout the playoffs, throughout the regular season, you wouldn't know which one's which is very different from data that we've seen in previous years. I think it's people are getting accustomed to, hey, this is the way we play. This is the analytics say we get us into our best position. In this series, we've seen 100 possessions per game, which is, you know, right there with the average regular season rating. The other side, though, people are going to miss. I think it continues. So how do we play this? If we think, well, pace isn't going to be that different. We saw that in Game 7 of the Nuggets Thunder. They want to play their way. But we think we're going to get a lot of misses, a lot of nervousness. I think that lends to rebound props, steal props, and block props, because there's going to be a lot of scrambled possessions, a lot of chaos. I think guys like Caruso might go over his 1.5 steals and blocks. SGA might go over his 1.5. And Pascal Siakam, my favorite prop that I've seen so far, over 7.5 rebounds. He's averaging about 7, but A, they're not going to rest him for anything. So he's going to be out there 40 minutes. The defense of the Pacers falls off a cliff when he's not on the court. B, there's going to be a lot of rebounds. Kobe Bryant once had 18 rebounds in a Game 7 of the finals. Pau Gasol, I think, had 15 in that game. We see these games where they just got to get shots up and nobody's hitting. So rebound props is one way to get at it. I think I like that a lot better than the total, which has been massively adjusted. The rebounds haven't been massively adjusted, so I think there's value there.
That's a tremendous point. Talking to NBA handicapper at pregame.com, Mackenzie Rivers on Twitter at Mack and Rivers. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Speaking of Pascal Siakam, Mackenzie, he is now the second favorite to win NBA Finals MVP behind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Siakam's at plus 370 on some markets, and if we look at the money line for the Pacers to win the game, it's plus 230. If you think the Pacers can win this game, are we better off betting Siakam to be NBA Finals MVP? Because if the Pacers do win, could they really vote for Tyrese Halliburton at plus 1100? Or is there, I mean, TJ McConnell's 90-1. I mean, I could vote for TJ McConnell. I mean, he's like my guy. But it feels like if the Pacers win, Pascal Siakam is going to be the Finals MVP.
If there was a fan vote, especially if they put up a picture of his sister, I think TJ McConnell might get the public to side his way. But if you look at this statistically, it's not close. Pascal Siakam has been the best defensive player by far on the Pacers. Again, his off-on numbers. Number two, he's scoring 20 points a game on good efficiency. Let's compare that to the second best player on the Pacers. And yeah, I said it. I've moved my position. Halliburton, as flashy as he's been, as clutch as he's been, I don't think you can look at the regular season playoffs or these finals and say he's been the best player on that team. He's averaging 14 points and 7 assists. I've never seen a player, I mean, Tony Parker, everyone had their hands in the, air when he got Finals MVP, scoring 22-7 over Tim Duncan in 2007. No way. I don't care. I mean, if he goes for 45 and hits a game-winning fadeaway three, maybe. But I think 11-1 versus plus 370, I would make it 95% if the Pacers win. Siakam walks away with that trophy. Halliburton's been bad in three of the six games, and he's been okay in two of them and good in one. I know people like the story of Halliburton, and he seems to dominate my social media feed, but he just hasn't been as good as Siakam. It would be a huge turnaround for him to win it over him.
That's what I'm saying. Instead of the money line on the Pacers, I'd rather just go Siakam to win the MVP and get that extra price at plus 370, because I can't see another Pacer winning it. I can't see Halliburton winning the MVP over Siakam. Now, the other side of that is that the Thunder are minus 285 to win this game, and yet Shea is minus 205. Is there a world in which somebody else steals Finals MVP from SGA?
I don't think so. I mean, it seems like for whatever reason, looking at my social media feed again, Shea is not a popular player. He had 15 points of the last 16 points in a comeback Finals win, and everyone on my feed was saying how he faked it, how he did this wrong, and he wasn't even good until the fourth quarter. That said, again, statistically, and these voters are not your average fan. They understand the stats. They understand the off-on. He's been better by a considerable margin than Jalen Williams. 32 points a game versus 24 points a game. One of the best plus-minuses on the team versus Jalen Williams, who set a record for bad plus-minus. Really, his stint in the second quarter of Game 6 is what made it a blowout. He wasn't able to get anything. There's a reason they're comping him with Scottie Pippen and not Larry Bird. Jalen Williams is just not that guy. I'm sorry to say. You might not like SGA. You might think he's a free throw merchant. But these 10 voters are not going to be swayed, especially when the stats are that stark, one versus the other. I think minus 205 is actually a good bet. I think it's more likely. I mean, if you bet minus 205, Shea to win Finals MVP, and plus 230 or plus 240 on the Pacers, I think you have arbitrage opportunity there. I don't see how you walk away not making a little bit of money.
I would agree with that. That's a great point there. And maybe you can do that angle with the SGA and Siakam MVP votes.
You know, right. You can't lose.
The minus 205 and the plus 370. If we think that those are the two guys and you play them both, and obviously price shop these out. All right, McKenzie, we got a little less than a minute left. So what's your final take, if you have one here, on the 7.5 spread for the game?
I took the Pacers plus 7.5. I think it's the first time all playoffs, or maybe since the first round, I liked them over the Bucks, that I've taken the Pacers. And it comes down to this. They're the first team that taught me I don't know basketball. Like, I've watched every team the last 10 years, and I just don't know how they do it, how they change game to game. And in this pressure-packed environment, the last eight finals, game sevens, none have been decided by more than 9 points. I don't think this is going to be the exception to that rule. I think the Thunder win it. All my futures money is still on the Thunder. I haven't hedged off completely. But I think the Pacers keep it close enough here where I would take the points way before I'd lay them.
Great stuff. He's McKenzie Rivers. Check him out. NBA handicapper at pregame.com, on social media at Mackin Rivers. Good luck with your bets, McKenzie, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, sir.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. More on NBA Finals Game 7 and updating you on the baseball scores coming up next here on Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. My thanks to McKenzie Rivers, joined us last segment. Talk a little bit about Game 7 of the NBA Finals coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll be joined by Sam Shadori from FTN Fantasy. We'll talk more about Game 7 tomorrow from a prop perspective, see which players we're looking to target. I thought McKenzie brought up a tremendous point talking about the total in this game and how there's been an adjustment, obviously, going down lower on the total because it's game sevens, and game sevens go under. But if you look at why the games go under, there's two sides of it. Is it the pace or is it the missed shots? And he doesn't expect the pace to change in this game because it's been played at a fast pace that's going to lend to more scoring. But the missed shots could still be there because it's game seven. Defense will be tighter. And maybe the nerves will be there as well. And so if you look, the market has adjustment on the totals for sure because the totals have dropped down. We're seeing 214.5. It's going to be the lowest total for the Thunder all postseason. But the rebounding props have stayed the same. So perhaps, you know, you would think lower points, more missed shots, more rebounds. Let's look to go over some players in their rebounding props. Taking a look at where we are here for game number seven. So I did some database work going back to 2002. And yes, game sevens go under. Historically, this is a massive trend. 44-28 to the under in game sevens. 2-1 to the under, two overs and one under, though, in this postseason. And that includes the over between the Thunder and the Nuggets in their game seven, which was a total of 214.5 as well, the lowest total that the Thunder have had this entire postseason. If we look at the NBA Finals, though, now in the database, we've only had four NBA Finals because obviously we game sevens because we don't. The last one or the earliest one in the database is the 2005 game seven. It doesn't count before that. So in the four that we've had, it is 4-0 to the under by 18.8 points per game. And that's in line with what we've seen just in general in game sevens in the NBA playoffs. We know that they are lower scoring. But are there any specific angles to attack when it comes to the total or the teams? And to me, there is. And it's going to be my best bet. And I'll repeat it for you guys several times throughout the program. But it is on the first quarter in this game. And it's on the Pacers team total to go under in the first quarter in this game. Yes, I'm attacking the Pacers. But if we look at what the Thunder have done in this postseason, at home, well, at home, they are dominating the first quarter by 7.4 points. At home, the opponents are only averaging 21.4 points in the first quarter against the Oklahoma City Thunder. After a loss in these playoffs, Thunder are winning the first quarter by 6.7 points. In the first quarter in this series, in the three games in Oklahoma City, the Pacers have scored 20 points, 20 points, and 22 points. All season long on the road, all playoffs long, the Pacers have averaged 24.8 points in the first quarter, their opponents 28.5. And then we just look at all away teams in game sevens in the first quarter only averaging 22.7 points. Pacers first quarter team total under 24.5 is my best bet on this game. That's where I feel like this game gets off to a slow start for Indy. The Thunder continue to do what they've done defensively at home after a loss and in a game seven where I expect both teams to actually come out and play it tight. You know, I could see not just the Pacers team total, but I could see the Thunder team total going under as well. That's at 27.5. And I don't hate the first quarter under in general, but from a targeted perspective, I'm targeting the Pacers only. So give me Pacers team total under 24.5 as my best bet for this NBA Finals game number seven. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Taking a quick look now at what's going on in Major League Baseball. The Padres have opened up the scoring with a 1-0 lead over the Royals. They are in the top of the third inning now in San Diego as the Padres scored that one run in the bottom of the second thanks to a Jake Cronenworth ground into a fielder's choice. This is after Gavin Sheets doubled and Bogaerts moved him over to third. So we have a 1-0 lead for the Padres over the Royals there in San Diego, top of the third inning. Dylan Cease on the mound for the Padres. Noah Cameron on the bump for the Royals. The Phillies, after giving up one run on the Brandon Nimmo solo home run in the top of the first inning, responded with two runs in the bottom of the first inning. It was a Nick Castellano double, scoring Kyle Schwarber, And then Max Kepler grounded out, scoring Alec Bohm. So two runs in for the Phillies in the bottom of the first inning. They are batting right now in the bottom of the second with that 2-1 lead over the New York Mets. Looking at the live markets right now, Phillies up to minus 160 over the Mets. Padres up to minus 212 over the Kansas City Royals. And your late games have yet to begin. You have Diamondbacks, Rockies, Houston Astros at the Angels, Guardians at A's, Nationals at the Dodgers, all coming up a little bit later on tonight. Down in Omaha, College World Series, LSU opened up the scoring with one run in the bottom of the first inning, and it was the first time all College World Series that Coastal Carolina was trailing at the end of an inning. That's right. First time all College World Series, Coastal trailing at the end of an inning. And here we are in the top of the third. Coastal is batting. They have yet to get a hit off of LSU, but they have had runners on, and they'll get another runner on right now as the batter was just hit by a pitch. But LSU, one run on two hits. Coastal, no runs, no hits as of yet. Top of the third inning there. And taking a look at the live line right now, LSU minus 188. Your live total of 7.5. Now, it is a warm day in Omaha, warm night, I should say, but heavy wind gusts are blowing in. So I don't think we're going to see any home runs. If we do, it's only going to be a few. Maybe you have to pull it down the lines, but we're looking at 21-mile-per-hour wind gusts coming in from right center field. This number closed at a total of 8. Live total right now is at 7.5 with just a 1-0 lead here in the top of the third inning, and Coastal is batting now with a runner on first after the hit by pitch. Speaking of baseball, want to remind you guys that ProfitX is offering the best odds on baseball all season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. The Phillies are on the board once again, thanks to a wild pitch or passed ball, depending on how they score it in the scorebook here. But now a 3-1 lead for the Phillies in the bottom of the second inning. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Royals have tied the game against the Padres, scoring a run here in the top of the third inning off of Dylan Cease. It was a, Waters singled to right field. Then Rav doubled, and now Jonathan India is up at the plate right now. So we got a 1-1 game with nobody out here, top of the third inning in San Diego, and the live market is changing now. Royals minus 115, total up to 8.5. The Phillies, meanwhile, up to minus 221. Coastal Carolina tried to execute a sacrifice bunt and move two runners over. They had runners on first and second, tried to move them over to second and third here. But a great play by LSU in the infield, getting the force out at third base. And so we remain with runners on first and second with one out here in the top of the third. So Coastal, after getting that hit by a pitch, got a single. Sacrifice bunt, trying to move the runners to second and third and possibly get a big inning, or at least just put those the tying run at third with less than two outs and the go-ahead run at second, but unable to do so. So they're going to have to manufacture some hits here if they want to get on the scoreboard. Just incredible defense. It was a pretty good bunt. Better fielding job done by LSU getting that force out there at third base. Updated market right now on this game is LSU minus 220 as we are still in the top of the third inning now with two outs after a strikeout. Once again, we'll get back into the NBA Finals. Game 7 coming up tomorrow. Sam Shadori of FTN Fantasy will go over some prop bets for specific players coming up here next for game number 7. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.